Everybody remembers what we talked about on the occasion of Leilei Berat. I told you that story before, but I'm going to repeat it again. Because I remember years and years and years ago, I complained about you to Muzaffer Efendi. Many of you were not there. So whoever was there, I complained to him and I said that, you know, I tell them things to do and not to do, and they keep doing the things which I tell them not to do, and, you know, and not do the things which I tell them to do. And he told me, tell them again. And I said, I do, but they still don't do it. And he said, tell them again. And I said, I do, but they still don't do it. And he said, tell them again. So I am telling it again. Allah rahmet eylesin. There was a man who got lost in the deserts of Iraq. Me and Wasif, we saw that desert, we went hours and hours and hours, you remember, and there was nothing. But in reality, the man got lost, which was about 2 hours to Baghdad. No. So he was hungry and thirsty, and finally he saw a Bedouin tent. So he went there and he asked for water. All what they had is sort of a stale water which rained a little bit weeks ago, which they have gathered. So he drank it, which was terrible. And the husband wasn't there, and finally he came with some desert rats which he has hunted. And so they cooked the desert rats, and they ate the desert rats. And so the man, after all, he was hungry and he was thirsty, and there's some food and some drink in his belly. And before he left, he told them that, you know, Baghdad isn't far from here, it's just 2 hours. You know, if you go to Baghdad, there is a whole river of fresh water, and there are wonderful sheep and beef which they can eat, and all sorts of fresh vegetables and this and that. And they said, huh? And so the man left, and the man said to his wife, yeah, it's always like that. He said, you know, they come and you feed them and give them a feast and give them to drink, and you know, they tell you all those stories, and that it's just that they are envious of what we have. When we were in our mother's belly, it was a little bit like that Bedouin and his wife. Our food was our mother's blood, and we were tight like that, and we couldn't see anything, we were in the darkness. If we had the understanding, if somebody would talk to us when we were in our mother's belly, telling that there is this whole universe outside, there is daylight, there are trees, there is air to breathe, all the space which you can run around, and you can eat and drink real food. I think like that Bedouin, we would have said, I'm fine where I am, and that guy is jealous from my state, and he's telling me all sorts of stories. Then after we come from our mothers, we stop feeding on blood, and then we suck our mother's sweet milk, And again, if somebody would come and tell us, you know, day in, day out, there is this milk from our mother, but, you know, there is out there caviar and filet mignon and baklavas and bureks and dolmas and all that, we wouldn't understand it. And then finally, here we are. We had Anvel's Hungarian goulash and Vasek's hors d'oeuvres and Syrian desserts. Soon there will be time that we have to stop having that. They tell us that there is a Jannah and there are incredible fruits. You pick it up and another one comes in its place. There are rivers of honey and milk and wine. Exactly like when we were in our mother's belly. We neither believed it nor wanted it. Here we again don't believe it and not want it. And before that time comes, that we will stop eating the good food here, and whether we believed it or not, we are going to see that there is another kind of food which is much, 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 much better than the food and sleep which we have in this life. In a few days, we will make an exercise. At least for a certain amount of the day, we won't be able to eat the food which we are used to, and we won't be able to sleep the sleep which we are used to. So there is a choice. Either we would go along with our egos and lament and say, "Whoa, I am hungry and sleepy," counting the minutes and the hours till we will start eating again and then we can go to bed. Or we can hope and try to taste another kind of food. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that I have a time at nights that I am in the presence of my Lord, and He gives me food and drink. Well, okay, that's Rasulullah. We are not. We may say, how could we be with our Lord who will give us food and drink? But I remember once my Effendi, Muzaffer Efendi rahmetullahi aleyh, one iftar, he couldn't eat because he said he was full. Because he slept a little bit towards the end of the fast, and he said that he dreamt an incredible feast. It was such delicious food that he cannot really touch any food now. They have fed him too. There is no question, day after day and night after night, we spend our time to please our flesh. We are slaves to our flesh. We are slaves to our egos. And Allah warns us that the devil is our enemy. He wishes the worst for us. He wishes to kill us. And the devil is a liar. It even lies to himself. But we have a chance. And I beg you, at least we should try this Ramadan. After many Ramadans, all what we did is to wait for the time of iftar. At least let's try something new. And that is what I told you at Leyla-i Berat, that Hazreti Mevlana says, that Allah says, that he has offered his trust to the heavens and earth and to the mountains. And the heavens and the earth and the mountains refused to accept, to take the trust of Allah Ta'ala, and they were afraid of it. But man, sinful and stupid that he is, the human being accepted that trust. What is that trust? And how come the heavens, where life would not exist without it, for the light comes from here, the air comes from the heavens, the rain, the water comes from the heavens. This incredible entity is afraid of it and didn't take it. The earth solid that we stand on it, we feed from it, and at the end we go under it. Also was afraid of it and didn't take it. And the mountains huge with all the diamonds and the gold and petroleum and coal and silver in it, didn't take it. But we, stupid and sinful that we are, we took it. And he says, Hazrat Mawlana, that if we didn't do anything, but we did what that trust demands us to do, that's all what we need to do. If we did everything, if we were the wisest of people, the nicest of people, most powerful and the rich of the people, and if we were doctors and lawyers and judges and scientists, all this is zero. If we did not do what that trust demands us to do, and if we did do what that trust demands us to do, we no longer will be neither sinful nor stupid. What is that trust? That he comes out with another ayat from the Quran in which Allah says, indeed, surely we have honored the children of Adam. Allah does not say that we have honored the heavens or the earth or the mountains which he has offered the trust, but he indeed honored the human being. And what is that honor, we ask ourselves. And Hazrat Mawlana comes with another ayat in which Allah Ta'ala says that I have bought the selves and all they possess of the believers in return as a price of Jannah. That Allah Ta'ala has bought, as you see, as I sit here, he has bought my mind and all what I know. He has bought my wife and my children and my home and my ihwan, my life. At birth, he has given me a bag of gold. And the days of my life and the nights of my life, they take from that bag the gold and they count it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Day passes, night passes, day passes, night passes. And the bag becomes emptier and emptier. At the end, there is nothing left in it. But before that, he has bought that life from me in return of paradise. I have no possessions. I have no self. I belong to him. I am his servant. That trust which we accepted from him, which the heavens and earth and the mountains didn't dare to accept, is the servantship of Allah Ta'ala. But when you are the servant of Allah Ta'ala, you are selfless. You are mindless. You are tongueless. You are handless. You have moneyless, possessionless. You have nothing, for you belong to him. And in a hadith sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, fasting is for me, and I am the one who rewards it. Meaning that fasting should be not for us. We have spent our life for this stupid flesh. Maybe we can try this Ramadan not to fast for ourselves, for our flesh, for a change, and selflessly, without the wishes and the desires of our egos, which will be weakened by fasting. And maybe we should try to be true servants of Allah Ta'ala. Salaam alaikum. Some of you may remember that I had given us a task many years ago to ask oneself, what have I done today for Allah's sake? Now, it's not difficult. It's all a question of intention. Now, if you forget to say at suhoor, I intend for Allah's sake to fast tomorrow, does that fast count? If you forget to say, I intend to do my namaz for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, does that namaz count? So, I get up, go to my job in the morning. I do all what I have to do. Now my intention, I have no intention. I go to the job, I do my research, I kill the bugs, I put gutters on, I play with the computer, I am doing it for myself. No? I'm going to get the money, my salary, and I'm going to buy food and car and this and that. Now, suppose that I say, I intend to to do my work today in the name of Allah Ta'ala and for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And remember the Hadith Qudsi which says, or is it an ayat? I don't know. That I will not give you what you want unless you work for it, says he. So I am following this instruction. Now Allah says, I won't give you anything which I want for, you know, unless you do something. Here I am as a servant of Allah Ta'ala, my Lord. You see, I want to do this and that, and you know, I'm going to work for that. You do exactly the same thing, but of course it won't be exactly the same thing. It definitely will be better, huh? But then you are doing it in the name and for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. When you are eating, we are told to say before we eat, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When I eat without saying that, I am doing it for myself, for my ego, for my belly. But if I remember to say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, it's not the same thing at all. So you see, it really is not very difficult. The best of men is the one who are good for others. Hadith. The best of men is not the one who is only good for himself. We know all this, don't we? Then why don't we do it? I'm not asking you to do it every day, but let us try to do it in Ramadan. All of us who has followed the orders of our ego have in our lives suffered from it, and we should have learned. But he doesn't let us to learn. So over and over and over again, we do what our master, the ego, tells us to do, and over and over and over again, we suffer from it. It's like getting drunk. I'm sure many of us here, including myself, we drank at one point. And it's really very pleasant. But then, one does all sorts of strange things when one is drunk. Terrible things to around oneself and to oneself. And I remember in the mornings, how is it called?
Hangover.
What?
Hangover.
Hangover. The horrible hangovers in the morning. And that is how it is with the ego too. There is a little bit of fun, because if it wasn't, we wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. But then horrors wait after it. When will we ever learn? When you are small, when you are humble, when you are in need, you receive. When you are haughty, when you are arrogant, you don't receive anything except a kick. Ah, yes, you receive. You receive money, you receive wealth, but the misery is greater as your wealth increases. May Allah help us.
Amen.
Let us try easy during this month for a change. Let us not think of ourselves. If we can, let us think of others. If not, at least just simply not to think of ourselves, not to work for ourselves. It would be a vacation if we could do it. Much better than thinking, oh, I'm so hungry and I'm so thirsty and I'm so sleepless. And bravo to me, I am doing it anyhow. Nobody can do it except us Muslims. There are lots of Buddhists and lots of Christians and lots of Jews who are hungry and sleepless, and it's not even Ramadan for them. So they do it. What is Yusuf, by the way?
He's sick.
Sick? Does anybody know what is Yusuf?
Hastaymış.
Because of the exaggerated orders of the kosher and not kosher with the Jews, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, may Allah forgive me if I am quoting it, but as I remember, he said something like, do not mind so much what comes into your mouths, and mind more what comes out from your mouths. And of course the Christians immediately took that, and I can eat anything and I can drink anything, and it doesn't matter anymore. But they didn't do the other thing either. The other thing is to be careful what comes out from your mouth, what you say. That's another thing which we have to be extremely careful during the Ramadan. What comes out from our mouths, not only what comes in from our mouths. Not to hurt anyone's feelings, not to break anybody's heart, even not to say anything which doesn't mean anything. Because usually most of our conversation is just making noise. Useless things. Jokes, haha. Let's be careful during the Ramadan, not to say anything which an Allah servant would not say. No lying, no cheating, no blaspheming, no gossiping, no useless talk. It's a part of, again, the Hadith-i Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala says that the breath of the one who is fasting is sweeter to me than the musk. And anything which you say as a selfish, arrogant person any lie, any insult, any criticism is much worse than eating garlic and onions and going to the mosque. we can do it. Let's try to do it, and maybe we will learn something from it, and maybe then we will try to do it when it is not Ramadan also. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, in few days we will be now about eating. Don't forget, precisely a part of being not selfish is to pay our zakat, which is a part of the Ramadan. That's why I already paid. I hope you didn't lose it.
You got it.
No. Because he sometimes loses checks.
most of the time.
So I already paid my zakat, so I can ask you also to pay your zakat, as you saw at the door that we already made some help to the ones who are in need in Gaza and Afghanistan and the Syrian refugees in Lebanon, etc. I would like to do more, so please pay your zakat as soon as possible, preferably before Ramadan. So then from Wednesday, the Taraweeh is at 10 past 10, you said?
Quarter after 10.
And we are going to meet during the Ramadan when there is iftar at before iftar, before 8:30. On Saturdays we should meet at 8 because we will do the usul beforehand. And I also talked with you're there, Baba. On Saturdays we will squeeze in the zikrullah between the iftar and the night prayer. The night prayer and taraweeh will be
10:15.
The iftar is 8:30. So today he counted eating the food took 35 minutes, right?
Yes.
And somehow the people who help clearing the tables and this and that, we will hurry up. So 8:30.
9:30.
Yeah. If we start the zikrullah at 9:30, then we can finish it by 10:15. No, we will shorten it. Yeah. We will make ushak. So we won't take off the carpets and this and that. Because otherwise if we do the zikrullah after the taraweeh, that would be very, very late, which is not going to be good. Is it okay for everybody?
Yeah.